Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos daf Samech Beis. We had a discussion yesterday about the Kameya. The Mishnah mentions that if a person wears a Kameya in a Rishus Rabban, so it's not going to be Chayav Karmin Chatas. But the Mishnah mentions, however, that the fact that he's not going to be Chayav Karmin Chatas also indicates that, of course, that he's not allowed to wear it in general. But that's only if the Kameya was written by a non-professional. Now, I mentioned yesterday the whole topic of Kameya is a fascinating topic, where part of the healing that was done back in the good old days was not just done with what we would call rational and explainable processes, but it would be done through also forms of Kameya. Now, Kameya is basically, we translate as an amulet. It was worn around the neck of a sick person. The Bryce that we learned yesterday said, doesn't matter, he's critically ill or just suffering from a particular ailment. But he would wear it around his neck, and in the Kameya was inscribed psukim. Don't ask me to how to compose one. I haven't done so. I've seen one in my lifetime, but I limit that to one. I've seen one in my lifetime. But and was it effective? I guess that's debatable. But anyway, that's
the one you saw. Was it what, a tefillah or something?
It was a tefillah.
Tefillah.
Yeah. So the. But anyway, that's the. But the Mishnah says that if you're wearing a kameya on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayav chatas, which of course means you can't go out with it. But from the Mishnah, it's clear that if it was written by a mumcha, so then a person would be allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. It would be considered a malbush. I asked a question yesterday, general question. The Gemara doesn't really deal with it. We know in general, refuah is also on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. So why would it be that a person's allowed to wear a kameya, which is essentially for the forms of refuah? And so, who was it here? No, it's not here now. But someone showed me yesterday the Me'iri, and the Me'iri makes a distinction between medicine versus medication, meaning the gzera is on medication, but not on medicine, meaning if there's a particular practice that's done that heals, in other words, that's not medication, but it's just a certain practice that's done, so that's fine. The gzera d'rabbanan of refuah is going specifically on medication. So this would be more medicine, not medication. Okay, that's quoted in the name of the Me'iri. I did not see the Me'iri inside, but that's one suggestion I heard yesterday. What became complicated yesterday was the following. The Gemara had a discussion at the end of the daf on Samech Alpha Midbeis. What is the definition of a mumcha, meaning someone who is an expert? So as we pointed out, there are three factors that go into becoming a mumcha: the person writing the kameya, the person receiving the kameya, and the actual Kameya itself, meaning the Kameya has been used and reused, and you reused the third time again. So that was the end of yesterday's discussion. From the Mishnah, it sounds like that the Mumcha we're talking about is the author of the Kameya, meaning the Kameya writer is the one that the Mishnah seems to be referring to as to be the Mumcha. Once established to be a Mumcha, and once he writes the Kameya for you, so then on Shabbos you're allowed to go out on Shabbos, even into a Rishus HaRabin. Okay. Ibailahu, we're in the middle of the Amud Samech Alef on the base. We're continuing right where we left off yesterday. Does it have Kedusha or does it not have Kedusha? Now, I mentioned this yesterday. I'm just going to repeat this very quickly right now. Kameya was one of two things. Either it was a piece of parchment inscribed psukim and tfilos of, get better soon. Or Kameya was made of ikarim. It was made out of roots. So certain bundle of roots were put together and you wore it around your neck. So obviously right now it sounds like we're talking about the Kameyam Shoksav, meaning the traditional written Kameya, and the Gemara wants to know, does it have Kedusha, does it not have Kedusha? So let's examine this Gemara's question for just a moment before the Gemara examines its own question, meaning it has Pesukim on it. Right?
Hashem's name.
It has Hashem's name on it, presumably.
Right.
So anything with Hashem's name on it is going to have Kedusha. So the Gemara now has to pinpoint exactly what it's asking. In other words, before even addressing the answer, you got to know what the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara says, well, perhaps the question is in regard to saving something from a fire. We will learn later on. I think it's the 16th parak of Shabbos. I have Masechta Shabbos in front of me. So I'm confirming. It's accurate. Okay, 16th parak of Shabbos. In the 16th parak of Shabbos, we're going to be learning the following halacha. Your house goes on fire, so you got to let it burn down to the ground. Okay, it's a difficult halacha. I say it so simply, like it's easy to do. But in other words, okay, you got to let your house burn down to the ground. You can't put out the fire. That's a malacha. And the house is only money anyway. So, you know, there'll be more of those. But if there's a kisvei kodesh in the house, so the Mishnah says you're allowed to save kisvei kodesh. And save them, to take them from where? You can take kisvei kodesh on Shabbos from one house into the chatzer, even if there's no eruv. Okay, so you're violating Nisa Durabanan. Well, the reason why the Chachamim allowed you to do that is so that if they didn't allow you to do that, so then you would get you'd panic, you'd get into hysteria, and you'd want to put out the fire. Okay, so that is a Mishnah later on. It's really a Perek later on. Anyway, so Tashma, so we're going to see in that Perek, Abrachos Vakimei Mafal Pishesh Mamotzios U Inyanos Harbe Shibatara Ein Matzilon Samim Nead Leika. Okay, but we also know that if I have either brachos or kamein. Now brachos, what does the braisa mean when it says brachos? It means a siddur with psukim in them. Let's take, for example, the matzah on Rosh Hashanah. Right, the matzah on Rosh Hashanah has, it's really tefillah, it's not a chumash, but it's got a lot of psukim in it. Malchios, the chorna shofars, it's got many psukim in it. Or kamein. So even though it has osios, and even though it's got inyanos harbe shebetara, meaning there are psukim in there, ein matzilon samim nead leikav nisrafim bimkoman. So you do not have license or heter to save them from a burning house. You must leave them there and let them burn inside the house. You're not destroying it, by the way. I hope this is clear. You're not destroying it. The house got on fire, not with your interest or desire. But on Shabbos, so you simply cannot take it out because that would be Issur d'Rabbanan to take it out into a chatzer when there's no Erev. Fine, so there's no heter to take it out. You have to let it burn inside over there. So, to the question of, does a kamei have Kedusha? So vis-a-vis saving on Shabbos, the Gemara says, we know he can't save it on Shabbos. Elanin Geniza, so perhaps it needs Geniza. So the Gemara says, the question is regarding Geniza. The Gemara says, that's not even a question. Tashma hayakastav al yadus hakeilam v'akir amita yagav yignezenu. We know that if you write Hashem's name anywhere, and by anywhere we mean even on the bedpost, who'd be writing God's name on the bedpost? I don't know, but that's not the point. What the halacha is that you can't just simply discard the bed. You got to cut out the place on the bedpost where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is written, bury it, put in Geniza, and then you can dispose of the rest of the bed. So we know that Hashem's written name is written pretty much anywhere. It's going to require Geniza. So on a Kameo, it's a no-brainer, of course. Of course it's going to require Geniza. Eli Kanath Membe Beis Akisa. So perhaps the Gemara's question is like this. Does it have Kedusha vis-a-vis taking it into a bathroom? So Ma Yesh Mem Kedusha Vasser? Odil Ma'in Bem Kedusha Vashari. So does it have Kedusha or does it not? So in other words, we know that Tefillin, Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, you can't bring it into the bathroom. Right? They are Dvarim Shebe Kedusha and cannot be brought into the bathroom. Now Kameya, interestingly enough, has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, but not in the context of a Sefer Torah. In other words, you're not writing a Sefer Torah, you're using Psukim of the Torah to help facilitate healing. So perhaps what the Gemara now is suggesting is, so it doesn't have any type of intrinsic Kedusha, so that you would be allowed to bring it into the bathroom. Okay, this is the Gemara suggestion. So Tashma v'lo b'kmei b'zman she'eino min ha'mumcha. So ha'min ha'mumcha nafik. So the Gemara goes about the answering this question doing the following. We're going to quote our Mishnah again. Our Mishnah says that if the Kamei was written by a non-mumcha, you can't go out with it on Shabbos. What's evident from the Mishnah that the Kamei was written by a mumcha, you could go out with it on Shabbos. Good. And we know this already. I mean, we've established this point. So now I'm wearing my mumcha written Kameya on Shabbos into a Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara says, now let's carry this through. So now that you're wearing your Kameya into Rishus HaRabim, what's going to happen? So the chances are I'm going to need to go to the bathroom. Well, that means I'm going to have to take off my Kameya. If I'm going to have to take off my Kameya to go into the bathroom, there's a good chance now that I'm going to end up carrying my Kameya. And clearly from the fact that the Chachamim allowed you to wear the Kameya, the Chachamim weren't worried about such a concern. So it sounds like, in other words, put the whole story together, it sounds like it would be okay to bring your Kameya into the bathroom. Had it not been okay, probably the Chachamim would have said, don't wear your Kameya because you're going to end up carrying it. E Amar, the Gemara is going to say all this. E Amar Kamei Yishmei Mishum Kedusha Zimnan Dimistarach Lebeis Akisei. V'asil Isuyinu Dala Amos Bereshus HaRabim. So if it was the case that you had to take it off before going to the bathroom, you're going to carry it for amos in a rishus rabim. So the Gemara tries, and the Gemara says, well, maybe this particular brice is talking about not the written kameya, but the one made up of the herbs and the roots. The Gemara says, nope, that's not going to work, because the brice says clearly we're talking about both types of kameyim. Well, maybe this brice is talking about a chol sheyesh bo sakana. It's critical. So in other words, it's not just relieving a little bit of discomfort. If he takes off the kameya, he will die. I don't mean to make it that dramatic, but that's essentially what the Gemara is saying. So if that were the case, obviously he'd be allowed to wear it into the bathroom. So but the Gemara says, but that also is not a plausible explanation of the Braisa, as the Braisa states clearly, we're talking about both types of chola. So the Gemara says, well, what you could do is you could hold it in your hand. And by holding it in the hand, you're going to be covering it, you're going to be protecting it, and that would be okay. The Gemara says, but that's not okay. The Hatayin Rabbi Yoshi Omer Vavashal Yoch Zanabi Yadon Vayavir Eno Arba Amos Bereshos Rabim. You can't hold the Kameya in your hand, meaning that the proper wearing and the only acceptable form of wearing the Kameya is worn around your neck. So the Gemara says, so that's not going to be a good explanation. So Ella Hacha B'Maiskinan B'Mechupa, or so the Gemara says, well, okay, we're going to be talking, the way we're going to construct this Kameya is that, yes, it's going to be a parchment, and yes, psukim are going to be written on it, and yes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is going to be written on it. And as to the question of, can you go into the bathroom with it, which is the Gemara's proposal, which is, does it have Kedusha vis-a-vis going into the bathroom? Answer to Gemara, right now in this Braisa, we're talking about a Kameya which is inside of a pouch. And being that's now inside of a pouch, so there's no, you will not be disgracing the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it's not evident, and therefore you'll have to be allowed to go into the bathroom with this on. Okay, so and if all this is correct, so we really haven't responded to our original question, meaning from the brisa that we just quoted that allows a person to wear a kameya which is written by a mumcha into Rishos Harabim, and presumably that means they even go into the bathroom, but that's talking about a kameya that's in a pouch, mechupa be'or. So to the original question, the Gemara kind of leaves it unresolved. Does a Kameya have Kedusha? Can you go into the bathroom with it? Undetermined.
I mean, there's an indirect answer, though. But it's like they're saying, if it's been a pouch...
Right, correct.
That seems to suggest that, yeah...
Correct, but... Right, did you hear how you started your sentence? In other words, if...
It's an indirect answer,
Kind of, right, meaning that we could explain the Braisa that way, and once we do explain the Braisa that way, so then we haven't answered the question, but you could explain the Braisa also, that's not Mechupa B'or. In other words, the Braisa doesn't say. So, it's a deflection. But it's not an absolute proof.
And nowadays, with the small cigarette that people have, I mean, their pocket for like...
Yeah. In other words, what's done is it's wrapped up, and I know they speak now about a double covering, a double wrapping around it. From the Gemara, doesn't sound like that's necessary, but maybe Kameh is different, perhaps. But anyway, but yeah, in other words, the Gemara says, once it's wrapped up, so then you're fine, then you can take it in the bathroom. I told you, the children in the airport. To me, that's like the biggest conundrum in the world. Like, what do you do when you have your children in the airport? All right, every time I fly. Okay. Okay, Vitanya. The... So the Gemara says, we're going on. Okay, so now we've given this answer, which is the Kameya is covered. Gemara says, so is your tefillin, meaning we're talking about a person who's wearing his tefillin. Now he's wearing his tefillin, now what's the Kedusha? The Kedusha is not the box per se, although I'll change my tune in just a moment. But the Kedusha is the cloth that's inside. The cloth where it's written, Shema, and the other three parashios, that's where the Kedusha is. And then, after that, what happens is that the cloth is put into a box. And meanwhile, we know you can't wear your tefillin into the bathroom. And so the Gemara wants to know, it's such a simple question, well, why not? Why can't the tefillin be worn into the bathroom? So... In fact, we learned together in Brachos, not that long ago, that if you want to go to the bathroom, you have to first take off your tefillin, and then you have to go to the bathroom. But why? In other words, the cloth is mechupah or it's covered. So hasa mishum shin. The Gemara says, yeah, I suspect everyone here knows the answer already. Because the boxes themselves have kedusha. So you have the letter shin written on the shel rosh. The Amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. That is not just something that we decided to be nice to put the letter shin on the shel rosh. That is halach l'moshe mi-Sinai that we do so. The Amar Abaye, dal shel tefillin halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. The dalet of the tefillin, the dalet that's placed onto the, that's knotted on the back of the neck, another halacha moshe mi-Sinai, v'amar abai, yushal tefillin halacha moshe mi-Sinai. And the yud, the knot that's etched out on the shel yad, obviously all three letters spelling Shem Hashem, that is also another halacha moshe mi-Sinai.
Based on this, if somebody just was wearing shel yad, they go in the bathroom.
So based on this, the answer would be no.
Why?
Because the shel yad has the yud.
But there's no full name of Hashem, just the yud.
Okay. Now, I do hear your point, but it's the yud of Shem Hashem. Okay, debatable. I don't know if I'm right or if you're right, but in other words, but you see that it's Shem Hashem. The Shemos are on the bottom themselves. The bottom themselves have Kedusha. Okay. Good. Ending our discussion regarding Kameya. We are turning now back to the Mishnah.
Look at these notes. It says the machlokas that with a hand he could go into the bank.
Uh-huh. Who does he bring down? Rishonim or Achronim?
Tosfos, another Rishonim.
Rishonim. Okay. The v'lo b'shiryon v'lo b'kasa v'lo b'megafayim. Shiryon, zarda, kasa, amirav, san, avarta, megafayim, amirav, pasmaki. The Gemara helps us try to understand what these are in the Mishnah. Shiryon, so it's a type of armor, type of plate mail that's worn. The kasda, that's the helmet. Right, and then magapayim amarav is pizmake. Pizmake sounds like some sort of shin guards, right? That's how Rashi describes that. Ampalios, ampalios are socks, but these aren't socks. Ampalios shel barzel. Okay, so what type of shin guards that are worn out in battle? Okay, we continue now. We're up to the next Mishnah. We're in Samech Beis Amud Aleph. We start lo seitzah isha b'machana nekuva. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos with a needle. A needle etched into her clothing, that would be considered carrying. Now, a pin, as we talked about, a pin is worn, a pin is decorative, but we're not talking about a pin right now, we're talking about a needle. A needle is not worn. It is used, it's certainly a kli, but it's not worn, it's not a malbush, so therefore it's a masui, and you cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Also, a woman can't go out with a ring where the ring has a signet on it. A woman does not wear a ring with a signet on it. A signet ring, as we described already a couple days ago, is a functional item. It's used by people to seal letters, but it's not ornamental, it's not a tachshit. So a woman, if she's wearing a signet ring on Shabbos, let's start again. She can't wear a signet ring on Shabbos. V'lo b'kulyar, she can't wear a kulyar, we'll discuss what that is in the Gemara. V'lo b'kavelos, v'lo b'tzuchish l'plaiton. And she cannot be wearing the kavelos and the tzuchish l'plaiton. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss both what they are in the Gemara. The im yatsa chayev eschatas divrei Rav Meir. Now Rav Meir says, since everything that we just mentioned in the Mishnah is not a malbush, it's not a tachshit, so therefore the only thing that it is a masui. Therefore she's carrying. Therefore if she did so, forgetting that it was Shabbos, she'd be chayev a carbon chatas, it'd be a malacha. V'chachamim pochim b'kovels v'tzuchish l'plaita. Now the chachamim say, basically I agree. In other words, with everything that we mentioned, the Mishnah, right, affirm that you'll be chayav a karban chatas if you carry them out. The only exceptions are the kovelos and tzuchish l'plaiton. We really haven't defined it yet, so when we define it, we'll then understand what the machlokas is between Rav Meir and the Chachamim over these two items. Okay, Amar Ula. The Gemara starts off the discussion with the following: chilufehem be'ish. Okay, and now we are talking primarily today about a ring. Rings are worn by men and rings are worn by women. What Rav Huna says is that they are mutually exclusive, meaning that the ring that's worn by a woman is a non-signet ring. The tabash she'in alei chosam, and the ring worn by men are primarily the signet ring. The tabash yesh alei chosam. And what Rav Huna is saying is that they are mutually exclusive. And that means to say that if a man were to go out with a signet ring on Shabbos, he would not be chayav karban chatas. If a, right, just like a woman who goes out with a signet ring on Shabbos is chayav karban chatas, A man who does so is not going to be chayav a carbon chatas. Now, does that mean a man is allowed to walk out with a signet ring on Shabbos? Maybe not. Meaning it may be enough, it's the derabanan. But the point that Rav Huna is making is, when would you be chayav a carbon? When would it be a malacha de araisa? So for a woman, it would be when she walks out with a signet ring, because that's not her mode of dress at all. And for a man, if he wore a non-signet ring, if he goes out with that on Shabbos, so then he would be chayav a carbon. That would be carrying.
Wedding ring?
Huh?
Wedding ring
the Gemara doesn't speak about. Meaning, presumably, again, the discussion over here is not whether it's okay, it's not okay. The discussion over here is it, if you go out with it on Shabbos, is it considered, are you chayav a carbon chatas? Are you carrying? Is it a muslim or is it a malbush? So, you know, the Gemara is not making any type of fashion statement, but I do mean that, but the Gemara is talking about what is exclusively in the domain of women versus what's exclusively in the domain of men, and that means then if the other gender were to wear it, that's not wearing, that's carrying, and you'd be chayav. Alma kasavar ula kol mida dechazilish lo chazilish, mida dechazilish lo chazilish. Now the Gemara wants to go fundamental now. And the Gemara wants to say that, you know what? Ula says this as a rule, as a blanket rule, that if something's exclusively in the domain of women, it's not for men. And if something's exclusively in the domain of men, it's not for women. That's how the Gemara wants to understand Ula as a fundamental rule. The Gemara says, Mesiv Rav Yosef, but that can't be because look at the following. Harom Yotzim Bistakin Velorom Bavad Amr Elokol Adam. Shepherds on Shabbos can go out wearing sackcloth. Sackcloth is not your normal, typical mode of dress. In fact, we know, we can point to a number of places throughout Tanakh, that usually it's the mourner who's wearing the sackcloth. But it's not your typical normal dress, but apparently for the shepherds, for reasons I don't really have a good explanation for, but they do. They wear their sackcloth. And the Braisa goes on to say, not only is a roeh allowed to wear a sackcloth on Shabbos, but kol adam. In other words, this permission would be for anybody. Just happens to be that that's how the shepherds typically dress. So, here we have now basically two segments of the population. We'll call it the shepherds and we'll call it everybody else, the non-shepherds. And what the Braisa is saying is that even though this clothing is typical for the shepherds, and it's not typical for the non-shepherds, what the Braisa is teaching us is
clothing is clothing.
Once determined and defined as clothing, it is simply clothing. So what the Gemara now is trying to argue against Ula is that once it's clothing, it's clothing. So if it's clothing for women, i.e. a ring without a signet, so then it would be clothing for men. And if it's clothing for men, i.e. a ring with a signet, it'd be clothing for women. This is now what the Gemara is trying to argue against Ula. But hopefully, I mean, you already see it, meaning that's different. Elam, Rav Yosef, Kasavar Ula Nashim Am Bifnei Atzman Hein. Women are a nation all to themselves. In other words,
finally,
the Gemara said. The Gemara said this many different ways. So now, correct, agreed. So now, essentially, what comes out now is that what we were doing is we were saying that shepherds and the non-shepherds are like two different populations, and it's not the case. Meaning shepherds are just simply a segment of the population, but, in other words, they are not really two different, we're not talking about two different nationalities. But when we're talking about the dress of women and the dress of men, the Gemara presents it as two different nationalities. What's to me fascinating, to me personally, is that at this point in time, I would have expected the Gemara to insert the Issur in the Torah of right, lo yilbash ish beged isha. Oh, did I do a terrible job at the pasuk? And right then, meaning that we have an isser in the Torah of cross dressing. And so, what the Gemara, I would have expected the Gemara to have done at this point in time is to say, and do you know why they're considered two nationalities? Because the Torah forbids men to wear women's clothing, and the Torah forbids women to wear men's clothing. Why the Gemara doesn't? Maybe that's what's underlying the Gemara over here. Maybe, but to be fair and honest, the Gemara doesn't mention that. In this context, Esve Abaye, Amosi Tefillin Machnisim Zug Zug. Now, your tefillin are left out, and you do not want to leave them out, and you want to bring them into the house. So we're going to learn later on that what you could do is, on Shabbos, wrap the tefillin up, like you normally would wear them, and
put it on.
put on your tefillin and walk into the house. And that way you are saving your tefillin. And you're doing this on Shabbos. Now that's not the exciting part. That, in other words, tefillin is a malbush. And as we already discussed yesterday, whether it is Shabbos' mantfilin or it's Lav's mantfilin may not play a role in this discussion. Meaning, as we, like we said yesterday, could be Shabbos' Lav's mantfilin, but still, that's people wear it. But people wear tefillin.
Isn't it considered moksa since before Shabbat you could use it?
It's a good question. Hold on that question. Right now, we're going to discuss it in the context of men versus women, but your question is a very valid question. Hold on that question, please. Okay? And then the Braisa says, and this can be done by men, and this can also be done by a woman. Meaning, so if a woman finds a pair of tefillin out in the street, and she doesn't want the tefillin to get rained on or exposed to the elements, she'll put it on, she'll go into the house. Done. So now, the Gemara says, let's think about now, let's go back to Ula's statement. Ula says that men and women are two different nationalities, they're two different people, and we're going to assume, going into the question, that tefillin are in the camp of men, tefillin are not in the camp of women, and if that's a fair assumption, so then obviously the problem presents itself. So how can the woman be wearing tefillin on Shabbos, and even though her intent is obviously only to protect it and save it from the elements, but the only way she could wear it is if it's for her considered a malbush. But if it's only in the camp of men, so how can the women, what legitimate right does a woman have to wear the tefillin on Shabbos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? Now, I amart nashim, the Gemara here articulates the question. I amart nashim am befnei atzman hein, v'ha mitzvah seseh shazman gramahu, we know the tefillin is the time b'ha mitzvah. V'chol mitzvah seseh shazman gramah nashim peturus, and we know that women are exempt from time b'ha mitzvahs. And now, exemption does not mean that she can't wear it, but exemption does mean that she normally doesn't wear it, so which would then go on to mean that this is men dress, not women dress. So by what right does she have to wear the tefillin in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin? So awesome, because of her mayor, Lila loves mantfilin who? So the Gemara deflects and the Gemara suggests, well, the author of that braisa is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir happens to be of the opinion that the mitzvah of tefillin is a non-time-bound mitzvah. And so now that's a non-time-bound mitzvah...
His daughter's word.
So... It's funny, I was thinking, I didn't want to say this, but now that you brought that up, I was thinking his wife wore it. You know his wife was?
Yeah.
Bruria.
Right.
But.
Sad ending.
Correct. So the Ramer Laila is Montfilinu. Vishabbat is Montfilinu. And by the way, in order to make the mitzvah of Tfilin a non-time bound mitzvah, so we had to take two positions which we don't accept la halacha, which are number one, that you wear tefillin on Shabbos, which that's not our accepted position, and nighttime is mantfilin, which is also not the accepted halachic position. But if you adopt those two positions, which the Gemara says Rav Meir does, so now that means that tefillin is a non-time bound mitzvah. And so the Gemara spells it out, Havalei mitzvah seseh shelo azman grama, v'chol mitzvah seseh shelo azman grama, nashim chayavos, and that means now women are obligated, according to Rav Meir, and now women are obligated according to Rav Meir, so now this is, tefillin now is no longer men wear, according to Rav Meir, it is men wear and women wear, and that explains the braisa of, you're allowed to put the tefillin on and walk inside the house. Okay. Adkan, meaning, good, so far we have defended Ula. Ula's position is that something which is in the domain of men dress is men dress, something in the domain of women dress is women dress, and never the twain shall meet. Okay, no crossing. V'ha hotzah kal acha yadhi, and now the Gemara turns its attention to another issue. I mean, we're still on the same topic, but another facet of wearing the ring on Shabbos. Now what have we said? If a man goes out on Shabbos with a non-signet ring, that's considered carrying. It's a masui. It's not for him. It's not a tafshin, and he'd be carrying, and he'd be chayv a karban chatas. And conversely, if a woman were to go out on Shabbos with a signet ring for her, that's men's rings. That's not women's rings, and therefore she'd be chayv a karban chatas. The Gemara says, let's take a moment to think about this just one step even further. Now, in order to properly violate Shabbos, so what do you have to do? You have to carry on Shabbos the way that things are normally carried. So in other words, watch carefully as I demonstrate. You see this eraser? I'll hold it in my hand. Okay? I know, it's complicated. And I'll carry it in a Rishos HaRabim. But if I wear it on my head, I put it on my shoulder, pockets, I don't know. Like, let's wear it on my head, we'll put it on my shoulder, put it over here on the back of my elbow. So that's all going to be an unusual manner of carrying. That's also midrabanan, that's shinui. But you're not going to be chayv a carbon chatas. You're only going to be chayv a carbon chatas if you're carrying in the regular manner. So now let's take a look at our rings. Our rings, for the woman, we're going to talk about the non-signet ring, which is a masui. But how is she carrying it? Or let me rephrase the question. How would she have to carry it?
Huh?
Signet ring. Thank you, thank you. All of you correct. Well done. So the non-signet ring, so how would she have to carry it in order to be chayv a carbon chatas? She'd have to carry it in her hands. Meaning it's not a ring for her. It's a signet ring. Thank you. It's a signet ring. She'd have to carry it in her hands in order to be chayv a carbon chatas. And meanwhile, we're discussing where she's wearing it. But interestingly enough, because it's not her malbush, and because it's not in her hand, that's kila achar yad. That's an unusual manner of carrying. Right? Okay, following? So the Gemara says, right. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. So to this, the Gemara is going to give two fascinating answers. Answer number one, Be'isha gizbaris askinan. The woman over here happens to be an accountant by trade. Right? Accountant or actuary, however you want to say it. And because of her profession, so what she's going to do over the course of her profession is she seals documents. So for this particular woman, it is not unusual, it's not strange for her to wear the ring on her finger. And because this is her occupation and this is how she normally travels, so it, for her, wearing it on the ring would be considered normal method of carrying. Now, I know this cuts into a very basic issue, which is, do we look, how do we divide, how do we define shinui? Do we define him objectively or do we find it subjectively? From this answer of Rabbi Yirmiya, it certainly seems to be, I mean, it's pretty clear, that it's subjective, meaning it depends on the person we're talking about, the kind of occupation they have, etc., etc. It is interesting. So that's the answer number one of the Gemara, that we're talking about a specific woman who does normally wear these rings on their finger. That won't be enough. You understand the nuance of this answer. It's such a nuanced answer. It won't be enough to be called a malbush, because she'll be chayv a carbon chatas. It would be for her normal enough that if she wears it in that way on Shabbos, that's considered her normal method of carrying. Right? Very nuanced answer.
Isn't it mukso that way?
It may be, but again, muksa over here is not the main issue of conversation. The issue of discussion in our Gemara over here is, did she violate a malach on Shabbos? Muksa is an issa d'rabbanan. It's an issue. But the Gemara over here is focused on, when is she going to be chayv a carbon chatos? Ama rava taratzta isha, ish ma'ikal ameim are good. And even this answer of Yirmiya, nuanced answer, interesting answer, but it's limited, because it only explains the case of the woman wearing the signet ring. But let's go now to the man. No. How is a man going to be chayiv? So we said if he wears a non-signet ring, which for him is not, that's not ornamental, that's not how he dresses, he doesn't wear a non-signet ring, and so therefore if he goes on Shabbos, he'll be chayiv. But in order for him to be chayiv, he has to carry it in his hand, and we're talking about where he's wearing it on his finger. So Michael Amemra, Allah Amarava Pamim, Shadam Nosan Lishto Tabash, Shalachosam, Laholicha Lakufsa, O Minichasa Biada, Achamagasa Kufsa, O Pamim Shaisha Nosan Sabala, Tabash, and Alechosa, Laholicha Eitho Uman Lasakin, Minicha Biada, Shemigi Eitho Uman. And the Gemara's answer, Rava's answer now, he rejects Rabbi Yirmiya, and he offers the following. Now I know I read that really quickly, but essentially, temporary usage is considered usage. Temporary wearing defines it, will redefine the item as an object which is normally carried in this manner. So in other words, sometimes the woman will say to the man, do me a favor, could you take my ring to the blacksmith, to the jeweler, right? I need it needs to be cleaned, it needs to be fixed. So make it also. So in other words, then what is he going to do? He's going to put it on his finger and he's going to carry it over to the jeweler. So that's a normal way of carrying. And again, it still is that nuanced answer, where it's a normal way of carrying, But it doesn't mean now that this is a ring worn by men. It just simply means because the man sometimes wears it in this manner, so that's considered normal way of carrying. It's a form of carrying.
Right.
And sometimes the husband will say to the wife, do me a favor, take my ring and put it in the safe. Okay? And what she'll do is she'll take the ring, she'll put it on her finger in order to go to the safe. So that's considered now normal method of carrying. It doesn't make it a woman's ring, but in other words, it's enough where it makes a normal method of carrying. Okay? So this is Rava's explanation. So now we've sidestepped the issue of, isn't this Kalachayad? And the Gemara's answer is, no, it's not Kalachayad. And why not? Fascinatingly enough, because since it's sometimes carried in this manner, so therefore no longer becomes Kalachayad. My kulyar. Okay, now we're up to the points of the Mishnah. Things in the Mishnah that a woman cannot carry with on Shabbos, and if she does so, she'll be chayav a karban chatas, at least according to Rav Meir, and we don't know what they are. So we're going to try to define. My kulyar, marav, machbanta. Okay? I hope that helped everybody. So, it's like a button.
Brooch.
A brooch?
Brooch.
Okay. In other words, it basically fastens her shirt. Okay? So, amachbanta. So, koveles, amarav, chumarta de pilon. Now, the koveles mentioned in our Mishnah is machbanta de pilon. Now, Rashi explains, this is the following. This particular woman does not have a good natural body odor. And so, what she does is she doesn't spray herself with deodorant. She takes spices and she puts them in a pouch and she wears the pouch. So this pouch now, this spice pouch, a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos. V'chein amravasi chumarta dipilon. Tanu Rabbanan with Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. Lo seitze bekovelas v'miyasa chayev eschatas. Div Rav Meir. So we start with the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, look, it's a muscle, it's a burden. And because it's a burden, it's not an article of clothing. If a woman goes out with it on Shabbos, she'll be chayev a karban chatas. And then we have the opinion of the Chachamim, which we already know because we saw back in our Mishnah, who says that if a woman goes out with this on Shabbos, she'll be pater. It will not be a chi of chatas. He considers it to be a tachshit, as the Gemara points out in just a moment. But as an issa d'rabbanan, she cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Definitely, the Gemara will say this, because she's going to end up taking it off and carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. That's a rabbinic concern. And then the third opinion, which we have not yet seen, is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yotze Isha B'Kavels L'Chatchila. He allows a woman to go out with the Kavels on Shabbos L'Chatchila. B'Makim Eflegi. Rameh Savra Masuri Hu, V'Rabban Savri Tachshid Hu, V'Dim Shafa Machvei, V'Alsi L'Suye. Rabbi Eliezer Savra, Man Darka L'Mirma Isha, Shereicha Ra, Isha Shereicha Ra, Lo Shafa Machvei, V'Lo Asi L'Suye Arba Amos, B'Rishos HaRabim. Okay. Three opinions, three explanations. It's all pretty straightforward. As far as Rav Meir is concerned, it's a masu. It's not even an article of clothing. It's not jewelry. It's nothing. And therefore, if a woman were to walk out with it on Shabbos, she'd be chayav a karban chatas. Okay. The Chachamim say, it's a tachshit, but as a gzera, the Rabbanan, for fear she'll take it off, show it to her friend, say, hey, look at this. So therefore, it would be aster mid the Rabbanan for her to walk out with it on Shabbos, but she would not be chayav a karban chatas. And Rabbi Eliezer, he would say, look, who's wearing this pouch? A woman who does not have a pleasant odor. She's not going to take it off. Right? Much like we described the other day. Right? We talked about other people, the Isha Chashuva. The Isha Chashuva wearing the Zahav, the city of gold. So she won't take it off. Here also, says Rabbi Eliezer, this woman won't take it off. So not even a Gzera Darabanan. The Gemara over here asks a detail-oriented question. We have a braisa where Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you're pater. Now, pater usually means pater of al-asr, which means it's an issa d'rabbanan. So the two Rabbi Eliezers, if you put them side by side, they are not parallel with one another. Rabbi Eliezer, as we quote in the first braisa, says it's mutar l'gamrei, and this Rabbi Eliezer, assuming it's the same Rabbi Eliezer, says it's asr m'd'rabbanan. Lo kasha hakikaya d'Rabbi Meir, hakikaya d'rabbanan. The Gemara's answer is context. Whenever you see an opinion, you got to look at it in its context. Kikai, the Rebbe Meir, Damer Chayv Chata, Samarle Potter. Look, when you put him next to Rebbe Meir, meaning when he's arguing with Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir's taking that extreme position of, you're Chayv a carbon Chata, it's a Masui. So to that, Rabbi Elazar says, no, you're not. Meaning, his real opinion is, it's Mutar Lagamrei. But when he's debating with Rabbi Meir, who's so extreme, so his counterpoint is just simply, you're not Chayav HaKarban Chatas. And Ki Kaya D'Rabbanan, D'Amrei Pater, V'Elazar, Amrei Iyu Mutar L'Chatchila. And then he's arguing with the Chacham, and the Chacham in our moderate position. They say it's Asr Midrabanan, so to that Rabbi Eliezer says,
oh, no,
it's not. It's Mutar Lagamrei. Umay Rabbi Meir D'Tanya, we're now on the top of Samach Beis Amud Beis. Lo say it's Isha B'Mafteach Shebiyadav, Yim Yatzah Chayav Echatas, Div Rabbi Meir. A woman cannot go out with a key on Shabbos, and if she walks out with a key on Shabbos in her hand, she'll be Chayav Karban Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer, Poter B'Kovel Suvetzluch, Ishal Plaitan. And Rabbi Eliezer says, well, if she goes out with Kovelas, or with Suchishal Plaitan, she'll be Poter. Now, that was a non sequitur debate. The Rabbi Meir was talking about keys, and Rabbi Eliezer says, you know, I disagree when it comes to Kovelas and Suchishal Plaitan, to which the Gemara asked the obvious question. There was no give and there was no take. It was a debate without a debate. So, Kovelas Mantikashmei, so who was talking about Kovelas? Chesur Mechzer Vahachikatani. So what we're doing is we're missing part of the Braisa, and let's fill in the gap. In addition to the key, Rameir also says that if she goes out on Shabbos with a Kovelas or brooch, or Tzuchishla Plaitan, her pouch of perfume, she will be Chayav Karban Chatas, as according to Rameir, neither of those are considered a Beged or Tachshit. Rabbi Eliezer, Poter B'Kovelas of Tzuchishla Plaitan, and now you hear Rabbi Eliezer. No, she's Poter. But by the way, now we know the rest of the story. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold that it's Pater. Rabbi Eliezer holds it's Mutar Lagamrei. But in the context of Rabbi Meir, he's going to say the word Pater. And that's only if the pouch has spices in it, fragrance in it. But if the pouch does not have any fragrance in it, she would be Chayev. Okay. Now, for just a couple of minutes now in the Gemara, we're going to turn our attention to this last point that we just made. If the pouch doesn't have any fragrance in it, even Rabbi Eliezer will say, now what's she doing? She's wearing a pouch? She'll be chayev. Meaning that's carrying on Shabbos. And she will be chayev. So the discussion, which we're going to see later in the Masechta, goes around the following. Amar Vada Barav Azosamar Samotzi Ochlin Pachus Michashir Bekli Chayev. Look, we will talk about the following. I carry a plate on Shabbos, but the plate I'm carrying on Shabbos is holding food. Now, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, 10th Perek, 11th Perek, somewhere in that area, that in order to be chayav for carrying food on Shabbos, there has to be a minimum shear of food. If I remember correctly, a kosevis, right? That's how much food you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav. If I carry on Shabbos a plate, and on this plate is food, but there's not enough food, there's not a shear of food on the plate, so So it's debatable whether you violate the malacha of hotzah. Why is it debatable? Well, because look, as far as the food is concerned, it doesn't have the shear.
A plate.
Yeah, but I'm carrying a plate.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm only carrying a plate to hold the food. It's kind of like ikar v'tafel, mm-hmm. like we talked about in brachos. And I know, different topic. But conceptually, same idea. So maybe you could view the plate as simply an ancillary part of the food. It's really the food I'm carrying. It's not the plate. And so therefore, you could debate, and it is debatable, whether you'd be chayef if you carry this plate of food on Shabbos. Where the food doesn't have enough shear, but the plate obviously is a kli b'fnei atzmo, it sounds like from our discussion, now let's translate that back to our perfume pouch. Where our perfume pouch, we've said that if it doesn't have perfume in it, it is definitely, according to everybody, a chi of carbon chatas if I carried it out on Shabbos. So it sounds like, even though there's not enough shear, but I look at the pouch and I say, look, I'm carrying a pouch. Same thing with the case of the plate and the food. There's not enough food on the plate to warrant a chi of, but let's take a look at the plate. And the Gemara tries to make this argument. Da'ha'in ba'bosam ba'kipachos mikishir b'kli dami. Because Tani Chayev, as the Gemara says, isn't it basically the same? Ravashi Amar Baal Ma'im Lecha Pater, Vishani Hacha Delei Salamamasha Klal. The Gemara says it's not the same. Rav Ashi deflects, and he says, look, in the case of the plate of food, there's food on the plate. It's clear. Just happens to be not enough food. In the case of the perfume pouch, if there's no perfume in the pouch, if there's no spices in the pouch, there's nothing there. There may be a fragrance, an odor, but that's not. There's no substance to that. It's just a pouch in of itself. And that's why, according to everybody, in this case, it'd be chai v'chatas. Okay. And with the time, with the few minutes that are remaining left today, we are going to go into a little bit of agadata. The Gemara quotes, we start with a pasuk in Amos, v'reishis shmeinim yim shachu. Okay, now, in the context of Amos, this is tochacha, given by the Navi to the people, and he told, the Navi Amos was telling the people, there's going to be churban. There's going to be destruction coming, and I'm telling you, everyone needs to change their ways and improve. And meanwhile, you people are living a life like nothing is happening or nothing will happen. Okay. So the Gemara quotes from that context, the pasuk Reishis Shmeinim Yim Shachu, and you put oil on yourselves, you douse yourselves in oil. The Navi is saying that in a very non-flattering way, i.e., you're engaged in tanug. As if nothing's about to happen. I'm Rav Yudah Mishmul Zel Plaitan. Now you know why we're talking about this piece of Agadata right now, because it happened. The Shemen that we're talking about is the Plaitan, the same thing we're discussing in our discussion. Meisav Rav Yosef Af Al Plaiton Gazer Rav Yudah Ben Bava V'lo Hodulo. Now we know. We just did this a couple days ago after the Churban Habayis. So there is a sense of sadness that permeates, and so therefore certain things are prohibited after the Churban, like music, for example. I know we're not that particularly careful about that, but okay, that's its own discussion. But what they debated were, what are some of the things which are going to be prohibited after the Churban Habayis? Now this is talking about Churban Bayis Sheni, but you'll see where I'm going with this. So Rav Yehuda ben Bava says that they wanted to usher Plaiton after the Churban Bayis Sheni because it's too joyful, and they didn't agree with Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Via mart mishum tanug amai lo hodulo. Now, if it's tanug, if it's just for the purposes of pleasure, why didn't they agree with Rav Yehuda ben Bava? It should be banned after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So amalei abai v'latamecha dechsev hashosim emizrik eyayin. Another thing that the people in the time of Amos did is they drank from bottles of wine, but not just any bottles of wine, special bottles of wine. Rabbi Amir Ravasi Chadamar Kinashkenin. So one suggestion is that the bottle of wine that they drank from was a bottle called Kinashkenin. Do you remember? I have a vague recollection. When we did a Avodah Zarah, we described this canister in detail, where it had basically two straws coming out of it, and two people could drink it from it from the same time. Okay, and if I remember correctly, the Gemara Avodah Zarah over there had a discussion. What if one side was drunk by a non-Jew and the other side was drunk by a Jew? And does that make that stam yenam? Okay. V'chan amar shemezarkin kosasem zelazeh. They would juggle cups one to another. Anyway, whichever one it is, the point is, the cups were drank in a festive manner. So hachinami dasar. Now, if the Navi is giving tochacha that they're doing this, even though there's an impending destruction, they went to the house of the Reish Galusa, and they drank from this type of instrument, and obviously we're talking at a post-Churban time period, we're talking about Reish Galusa, hundreds of years after the Churban Habayis, and no objection was made to that, Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to redefine. Kol midi diis be tanug viis be simcha gaz rabbanan. Tanug is not enough to ban. In other words, after the Churban Habayis, what is to be banned? Something that is both tanug and simcha. So if something is just simply a luxury item, that's fine. But if it's a luxury item and it causes simcha, that was banned after the Churban Habayis. And so the fact that Amos was giving rebuke and reprimand over these items, and even though they were only tanug, he was bothered. He was offended by the fact that he's talking about impending doom and destruction, and they're engaged in tanug. Avabi did this be tanug, v'leis be simcha logaz rabbanan. Okay, We have more to go, obviously. We'll continue with the Agadata tomorrow. More from the Pesukim in Amos, more about the Tochacha. Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zev, HaKohen Ben Shomer Rivka. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akasha, Marasa Kashvach, Lezakri Sofich, Achir Ben Tormitz, Shanem, Anecha, Veitzamanzi, Koya, Dil Torah, Viyadir.